Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up? This is DeJuan Boyd, a.k.a. DJ Rabbit, representing Rabbit Productions, hanging out chilling with my girl, Cy Buggy. That's right, Cy Brown, right here on LifeRemixedRadio.com. Say word.
Hey, everybody, it's your girl, Cy Brown. Today is Wednesday, September 10th, and I am hanging out with you for another Life Remix Radio show. Yesterday, I started the show saying how dreary it was, like outside in New York, and it was kind of funky weather. Well, today the sun is shining brightly. God is good. It is just another great day here in New York. But you know what? I think I have allergies. I've never had allergies before, and I woke up this morning like all congested, and I'm like, what's this all about? And now, like, I just started sneezing, and then all of a sudden, my nose itchy, my throat got itchy, and I'm like, okay, I don't think this is good. But, you know, what can I say? I've never had allergies before, but this is what allergies, like, it definitely sucks. I've got great news for everybody. I am going to be in the November issue of magazine. I received an inquiry where they wanted thoughts on, well, just like a cross-section of thoughts on Governor Sarah Palin. And I responded, you know, I was a publicist, so I'm very good at work with the media. And I responded, and I just got the email back that my thoughts and my comments about Governor Sarah Palin will be in the November issue of Red Book, which stands in October. So that is really, really cool. I'm so excited about that. That was in essence last October. So now to make Red Book, that's really, really major. And also, I sent in pictures. I don't know if they're going to use the photos or not, but I kind of hope they do. You know, I'm a cute looking gal. But I don't know if they're going to use the photos or not. We'll have to, sorry, something's in my throat. We're just going to have to see if they use the photos or not. But anyway, other than that, I think that's really it. Oh, today we're going to talk about tithing. We're going to pick up where we left off yesterday. We got into a very in-depth discussion just on the whole concept of tithing, what tithing is about, and all that stuff. And it was really, really a very interesting show. I mean, you have to look, and I think one of the biggest things that we were, like, inquiring about is it required for salvation? Are you going to go to hell if you don't tithe? Is God not going to be pleased? Do you have to stand up when the pastor says, you know, do you have to tithe? I mean, it was really cool because we had a pastor on the show, Pastor Montan McDonald, and he's from Tennessee, and, you know, that's considered, I believe, like the Bible Belt area, and I know like the Carolinas are, but he's a pastor, and I mean, if he's a pastor, he was kind of questioning the whole concept of tithing with the money issue, and, you know, then it's something that I really think we should explore, and for all of you that do tithe, I tithe for many, many years. I do not do it anymore. I give generously, but I no longer feel compelled or obligated or to give the obligatory 10% of my income. I just don't, and I trust that everybody is still going to respect me. I trust that you'll just say, well, we can agree to disagree. But, you know, I've spoken with a lot of, let's say, seasoned saints about this issue. And just in speaking with my grandmother and older people in the church, you know, they all pay dues to belong to little clubs and things like that for them to, you know, keep the church running and for them to keep the church functioning. But I just can't recall, and my grandmother couldn't either, where tithing was mandatory. And my grandmother's 87 years old, and y'all know I talk about it all the time, but she's like, they weren't taught tithing. So here she is, 87. She wasn't taught tithing. So does that mean that her salvation is in jeopardy because she wasn't taught tithing or that she was not walking in obedience? So, I mean, those are just some of the things that we're going to bring over into today's show. And, you know, it was really, really good yesterday. We had great conversations. So without just, like, you know, going into it, I just want to bring our guest in. Pastor, are you there?
Yes, I am.
How are you today?
Doing pretty good. And instead of being in the conference room, I'm outside. They're doing something in the conference room today. So I'm enjoying the wonderful weather out here.
It's all good. Can you just give our guests quickly who you are? And I listen. Well, this is, you know, I re-listened to yesterday's show, and yesterday's show was great. It was really, really good show. So I'm so happy you're coming back to do part two. You really don't know, and maybe we can record it, and I'll send the CDs, or you know how to do that too, because you're a BTR host. But I just think this is a very good show, and I also uploaded this show on my Life Remix blog and my NYCGospel.com blog. And I blog in a lot of places because I just think to hear such different opinions and things like that, it's really good. And I said just before you got on the line that this was the first time I openly admitted that I do not tithe. And I hope it does not – it was very difficult for me to say that on today's show. It's something that I have gone back and forth with. But I don't want to live a double life. So I said
right.
And I hope, and I said right before you came onto the line that I really hope and trust that all of my really seasoned Christian friends just say, you know what, let's agree to disagree, but we can still be friends. So can you just bring us up to speed, you know, let some of my listeners who may not have heard yesterday who you are, what you do, and we're going to pick up where we left off yesterday.
Okay, my name is Pastor Montan McDonald. I'm the pastor of Seed of Abraham Church in Nashville, Tennessee. And I left out some things yesterday. I also am a volunteer chaplain for the Metropolitan Police Department here in Nashville. And let's see, just a child of God. That's, I guess, the most important thing. And one thing that I wanted to mention, I failed to mention yesterday, that this message that I'm talking about, as far as the tithe, you can even find more information out on it on my website on www.droppingseed.net. There's all types of teachings that I have there and all types of good information. And if you join that website, I can send you messages from time to time from the pastor's pen is what it's called, and we'll send you some messages and some more teachings that the Lord has shown me, and I'll be happy to share it with the people.
Well, that's very nice of you, and I just want to say one thing too. I got an email that somebody bought a copy of my book last night.
Oh, I wonder who that was.
Thank you for buying a copy of my book. Do you want me to autograph it to you or to anybody specifically?
Please do. Yeah, just to me and my wife. My wife's name is Connie McDonald.
Okay.
And that would be great. I've been meaning to get a copy of that book for the longest. I just now got around to doing it, so.
Well, I say thank you very much. When I got the email, I'm like, somebody bought a book. Oh, that's good. You know, I sell a lot of books, but I'm saying, this name looks familiar. So I was going to actually ship it. When you purchase them the way you did, it comes directly to my site. Like, they're in bookstores and Amazon, but it comes directly to me. And I always keep inventory here in the office. So I was going to send it out this morning, but I said, let me just make sure that I autograph it properly, and I knew I was going to talk to you today.
Right.
So that's why I said I'll just wait till I talk to him at 12. Let's get back into tithing.
Okay.
And I see I have Derek Eady on the line. Hey, Derek, thank you for listening. And today he's got a show that comes on BT Blog Talk Radio on Tuesday night. So I just want to say thanks for joining us today. Yesterday it was great. You know, we talked about the whole tithing issue. And I want to pick up kind of, we were talking, you referenced the scripture in the book of Genesis where Abram gave, just for those that are taking notes, chapter 14, verse 20, down to like 22, how he gave a tenth of everything and how tithing was just not about money. It was about food and other things. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Okay, I'll be happy to. Going back to Abraham, as we spoke on yesterday about this, that when Abraham gave a tithe, first of all, the tithe that he gave was not his income. It had nothing to do with anything that was an income for him. It actually belonged to the king of Sodom. And when he gave that tithe, he was not, first of all, commanded by God to do so. He did it as a free will offering. So as far as Abram is concerned, we can't use him as an example. And as I said yesterday, many people use Abraham as an example of why we should still tithe to today. And so you have to understand the text. You have to understand and read it in its context to find out exactly what's going on, what's the times, and read the whole book. When you read the whole chapter, don't just look at one little part and say, oh, well, Abraham tithed, so that means that I'm supposed to tithe. And as far as tithe being used as food, every instance that you find in Scripture concerning tithe, it always refers to food. I've not found one instance where it actually referred to money, except for the fact that it can be used, or should I say, it can be turned into money if you are to worship your God in a faraway place. Mm-hmm. It can be turned into money, and you can buy whatever you want. Now, here's another thing that a lot of people don't realize is that in the Old Testament, when you were commanded to tithe, you were also commanded to eat your tithe as a celebration meal.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know
that. There were all types of festivals that the Jewish people had when they were in the wilderness, and all these different festivals, you had a celebratory meal. These tithes were used for several different reasons. As a matter of fact, there was not one specific tithe. There were several tithes. And so each tithe had a specific reason. There was a tithe that was given every 3 years. That tithe that was given every 3 years went towards the storehouse, for the temple. Then there was a tithe that was given every year. That was for the celebratory meals. And you would put the family together, and basically, if you want to put it in today's time, it was like a family reunion or a picnic where they all had a celebratory meal, and they used that time to worship God, thank God for family, friends, and for all that God has done for that year.
Pastor, you're breaking up just a little bit. I don't know if it's windy where you are. It's just a little windy, that's all.
I'm sorry.
No, you have no way of knowing. It's all good. I want to get into, we talked also how, I mean, I'm loving the whole spiritual connection. And I want to always go based on what the Bible says. I believe the Bible.
Yes.
I believe the Bible was inspired by the Word of God. But I also believe that you have to apply it. I think it's impossible, and I stand to be corrected, that it's to live according to a literal translation of the Bible, because the times are not the same, the interpretations may not be the same. So now, based on how I understand it, how can I honor God? Or wait, let me do it this way. Am I walking out of disobedience if I don't tithe?
No, you're not, and I'll tell you why. In the Old Testament, especially in the first five books of the Bible, which are the law books, that is the books that the people of Israel had for their laws, whether it be their national laws or whether it be their spiritual laws, they relied on those books. Those laws were written for the Jewish people only. It was written for the children of Israel. It was their covenant. It was part of the covenant between the people of Israel and God. Now, we are not of the people of Israel, and to be honest, through Jesus Christ, through the blood of Jesus Christ and his sacrifice, he paid all debts. He paid the penalty for sin, and he fulfilled the law. We are not required to follow the Old Testament laws, because those laws were not, or should I say, the agreement and the covenant that was not made with us. It was made with another group of people.
Okay. Just two quick things. It's still a little, you're breaking up still a little bit, but aside from that, I just want to say, we got a question in the chat room, and just for those of you that may have had a challenge, he said that covenant was made in in the Torah, which is the first five books, to Jewish people, correct?
Yes.
Okay. We are no longer covered, or we are no longer obligated to operate under the Torah because we're living in the New Testament, correct?
Right. Well, let me explain it more like this. We were never obligated because we were not of the Jewish faith. That was a covenant for that was a covenant for the Old Testament Jews. And once Jesus came, he opened up salvation not only to the original chosen people, but to the whole world, which is why we are saved by grace, why the Gentiles and the Jews are also saved, is because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was a sacrifice for the whole world. Now, what the people of Israel did in the Old Testament was just a shadow of things that were to come through Jesus Christ. So we use the Old Testament as an example of what Jesus is to fulfill in the New Testament.
I want to share some things that are going on in the chat room. This topic is off the charts, because we talked about it yesterday and the chat room was lit up. Sophisticated lady says, I got a question that is, does he feel that a person should tithe if they are working with a deficit? In other words, if they only have bill money, can they tithe with services to church or another? Sometimes people take bill money and try to operate in faith and cause financial circumstances in their home. What he just said is opposite of what many preachers say. They preach that you are cursed if you don't tithe. I'm going to let Pastor address this, but I want to share with you, sophisticated lady. We got so into this yesterday, and I said, that's why I will not tithe. I personally feel, and we'll let the pastor speak from a more authoritative position than just what Cy thinks, but I know people that have done the same thing, and my grandmother taught me, who's like, I said, 87 and a church member all her life and faithful on all the boards and stuff. She said, if the Lord has already blessed you to pay your bill money, to pay your bills, there's your money. And this is coming from my grandmother. Pastor, can you help sophisticated lady, or can you bring some clarity to this?
Okay. Now, once again, we're talking about an issue that was a national law for the people of Israel. So my position on that from the get-go is that you're not required to even pay the tithes in the first place. But my background and what I've always been told and taught, and you know, was that you pay your bill money first. Well, here's the problem with that. And your first priority is to take care of your family. Family is your first ministry. Okay? If you are giving to the church and you don't have enough to pay your bills, then first of all, there's an example that somewhere, somehow, you are overextending yourself, and there may need to be some changes in either your spending habits, or you may need to cut back on some things. But at the same time, if you're forced with a situation, and I know because I've been there, where you have to make a choice between whether getting groceries or to pay your tithe or to give money to the church, then you need to get the groceries. And I'm saying this as a pastor, and I'm saying this once again on my position that tithe is not a requirement for the New Testament church. There was nowhere in Scripture, find it for me if I'm wrong, that Scripture tells us to tithe to a church. Even in the Old Testament, there were no churches. Churches did not even come about until after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So you can't say that you are required to tithe to a church, because there's no instruction that tells us to even do that. So it's important for you to take care of your family first. It's important to take care of your obligations first, and God will bless you. Because what God wants from you more than your money, he wants your heart. That's the most important thing that you can give him. He's not broke. God is not bad with money. God is not somebody who's trying to pay the light bill for the universe. He is a God who knows your struggles. He knows your needs. And he provides them. He wouldn't have provided those needs for you if he didn't want you to take care of what you have to take care of.
Well, I'm with you on that one, and I just want to address, sophisticated lady says, how does he address why preachers say this is why so many people don't go to church too many different opinions and segregation among different denominations and ministers. Well, churches have budgets. And I think that's safe to say that we talked about that. Churches do have budgets. They have obligations that they have to meet. But I take issue with don't connect your bills to my salvation.
Right.
And that's what I don't know if anger is the right word. You know, I'm a speaker, but I still get tongue-tied. I think the word is umbrage that I'm looking for. Like, don't come to me because you have bills. Or if you have a bill, say, okay, church, if we are collectively going to continue worshiping, then we all have to collectively support our church. I can get with that. But to tie my salvation to you meeting your budget, I have a problem with that. Because you're messing with somebody's soul, and that's not cool.
Right. And here's the thing. A lot of times there's a lot of promises made with tithing that, you know, if you give to the Lord, the more he gives to you. Go ahead and pay your tithe and not pay your light bill, and God will bring money from out of nowhere. And I've heard people tell, you know, testimonies of how they paid their tithe and they didn't know what they were going to do, and then out of nowhere a check came. Well, here's the thing. I've done that. I've had things like that happen to me before, but I've also had the flip side too, where I paid my tithe instead of taking care of a bill, and the light still got cut off, and I still had to struggle through things. And what that does, especially for someone who really maybe just now getting into a relationship with God, it frustrates their faith. And that's one thing that a preacher or a pastor should never do. We should never put ourselves in a position or put people in a position where they can frustrate their faith because, for one thing, people have a misunderstanding of what faith is anyway. You can't have faith in something that was not promised to you from the beginning. So for you to just have faith and say, oh, well, I'll pay my tithe and God will handle it. Well, ask yourself, did God tell you that's what you need to do with your money? Just like we said in, on yesterday's show in 2 Corinthians, you have to make sure that you know within your heart what you want to give. And you have to be a cheerful giver. You can't be a cheerful giver if you're worried about your light bill while you're giving to the church. God's not going to honor that nor respect that because you have your priorities out of order.
Well, I remember, and I want to speak to this whole cheerful giving thing. I remember for years, my husband grew up with his mom really going to church and, you know, not wearing pants and this and that. And she really took an issue with me because she said, "Saeed, the Lord," well, whatever it is. I say that to say he grew up in a very churchy environment. I did as well, but not, like, really churchy per se. It was just part of what we did on Sunday, you know. You just go to church on Sunday. So when we started having children, we did the same thing with our children. Come on, kids, get up. We got to go to church. And for years, I had no clue why I was going. Didn't know God like I do now. We just went. We put our money in. And let me tell you, and y'all know I am so personal, I felt the more I give, the more notches it was going to get me in heaven. Does that make sense? Like the more, okay, here's $100. Like, I may have cursed somebody out. This isn't an actual scenario. I'm just coming up with something for the sake of this conversation. So I felt my money would absolve me from my moral obligation to be a good citizen. Do you see what I'm saying? So, like, let me write this check. So now I can go back into the world and say, listen, I'm a good Christian. I give money to the church. Meanwhile, my insides and my spirit was wicked. I'm just fussing somebody out, cursing people out, beating them, you know, whatever the issue was. But I felt we write that check. We are now absolved from sharing the gospel of the Lord, sharing how good and amazing God is, trying to help one another, loving my neighbor. I didn't have to do any of that because I wrote the church a check. And unfortunately, the church perpetuates that mentality, which is why we got mean and evil Christians in church, I think.
Yeah. And see, here's the problem with that is, and I think all of us have a religious nature in us where we feel like that if we do certain things, that we can get, I guess, bonus points with God. And the problem with that is that's a replacement faith that tells you or tells people that I don't believe that Jesus' sacrifice was enough to save me. Have you ever heard the song? I'm sure you have. The song "Amazing Grace."
Yeah.
Well, one day I was sitting and I was thinking about that song, and I was like, "Amazing Grace." Okay, what the writer is saying is, it's amazing that God gives me His grace, and I don't have to do anything to earn it except have faith in His Son.
Right.
So it's hard sometimes for us to wrap our minds around the fact that God is pleased with us, not based on us, but He's pleased with us based on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And the Bible also says that when Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man can come to the Father except through me." So here's the issue. If you ever say Jesus plus my tithe, then you basically telling Jesus your sacrifice was not good enough for me. If you say Jesus plus I have to do A, B, and C, I got to dot my I's and cross my T's, then that is saying Jesus' sacrifice was not enough. Now, I'm not saying, of course, that you can just live any old kind of way and be, quote-unquote, pleasing to God, but I will say that if you have faith in God, and if you have that relationship with God, just like any relationship, you're going to have your ups and your downs, you're going to make mistakes, and you're going to have your good days, but all in all, you're in a relationship. So I'm pretty sure that you and your husband sometimes, you know, y'all's marriage, some days may be up, some days might be down, but that doesn't mean you just pack your stuff up and you leave. You are in a relationship. You are in a covenant with your husband. We're in a covenant with Jesus Christ. And that covenant is a binding, and I don't want to say contract because contracts are too easily broken. I'll just say covenant. You're in a binding covenant relationship with God. And so in that, we may not always be perfect, but we are covered by the grace of God. We are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And tithe does not save you. Tithe does not cause your life to be better. What causes your life to be better is a faith in God, a wisdom to handle your business and to do what you know is right.
Well, I'm with you on that one, and I want to say a couple things. To everybody who's questioning the sound, I'm not sure what's going on. It must be the server because I'm pretty clear and, you know, so I'm not sure what that is, but I'm working on it. I have my tech person right here next to me working on it. But Derek, I want to say, Derek Eady, who I mentioned at the top of the show, sent a note in the chat room, Pastor. I think a lot of the lack in tithing comes from a mistrust people have with the church's financial responsibility. I don't believe that to be the case, and we're all here in love, and we can all agree to disagree. I trust my church. I believe they do the right thing with the money. I see stuff going on in the church. Stuff is fixed. Young people are being serviced. Our seniors are being serviced. That's not my issue. My issue is you telling me to stand up and wave my tithe in the air, and then almost, I don't want to go so far to say, but almost disrespect the ones that are not standing and saying, well, the Lord loves what you're going to give, but you need to be brought up to obedience where you're giving your 10% too. Right there, you lose me. Because right there is you tie my salvation and my relationship to the Lord with money. And that is, and I believe that cannot be the case. So Derek, I trust my church, and I think they're very good stewards. And if one day I made a ton of money, I probably would write them a check for $10,000 or $20,000 because I do know they do good things with it. But don't call it what it is. Is that making sense, Pastor?
Well, see, here's the thing. Everybody has a different experience in church.
Okay.
Before I became a pastor, I had gone to three different churches, and each church there was a different experience that I dealt with when it comes to money. There was a church I went to that, you know, they were trustworthy. They did all the right things with the money. So that really wasn't an issue, kind of like what you're saying. But then I'd gone to a church. I was also serving in a church where we kept taking up money and raising money to get a roof fixed that never got fixed. And later on found out that the money was being used for personal things for the pastor, because the way that particular church was set up, the way the bylaws and the constitution was set up, that pastor had full control over everything. And you really have to be careful about churches like that, where the pastor has full control over everything, because a church or an assembly is supposed to be a community of believers working together toward one goal. But if only one person has access to everything and no one else has access to anything, then first of all, even if that person is honest, it still creates an atmosphere of mistrust. But it also can easily be too tempting for that pastor, that if he, let's say he's going down the road and he realizes that he's running out of gas, it's easy for him to say, hey, I'll just use the church card because I don't want to use my own money. You know, I mean, you really got to be careful with that. But each church has their own experience. Not all churches are created equal. So everybody has their own experience. So I really can't speak on that. But what I can speak on is the fact that it's up to you what you do with your money. We have to learn as Christians how to think for ourselves. We have to learn, and that's why I tell people, that's why I tell people all the time, even when I'm preaching, don't just take my word for it for what I'm saying. Look it up for yourself. You know, there's so much information out there where you can go and research topics. If you just go and Google the word tithe or tithing in the New Testament church, there will be all types of information that will come up. There will be pros and cons, people who are for it, people who are against it. And listen to everything that is said. Read everything that is out there and decide for yourself what you are going to do. Life has always been, since the beginning of time, about choices. That's why God made us free moral agents. But we cannot make a choice, or let's say we cannot make a good choice, if it's not an educated choice. So you have to get out there, study the word for yourself. As a matter of fact, we're planning on doing a seminar here in Nashville on how to interpret the word of God. We started this out at our church instead of Sunday school one day. I decided to close the Sunday school books up, and I decided what we're going to do is we're going to have a 6-week lesson on how you should interpret the word of God. And it's using simple rules of interpretation that you would use for any type of writings. You know, whether a passage should be taken as a literal interpretation, mm-hmm. or is it a type or a symbol of something else? What scriptures is written in poetic form? And of course, we all know that things that are written in poetic form, not all of that is supposed to be taken as a literal interpretation either. So once we learn how to really read the Bible for ourselves, I think we can call a lot of leadership to the carpet. We can really say, look, okay, I need to hold you accountable for this word that you're teaching. I need to hold you accountable for this word that you're preaching, because if it doesn't line up with the word of God, it is not of God. Mm-hmm. If it's just coming out of, and people, let me just say this, people, especially preachers and prophets, they're real quick to say, well, the Lord told me that this word means this, and I just got a revelation from God about this scripture. Be careful about people who talk like that, because a lot of times what they're giving you, and I'm not going to say every time, but a lot of times what they're giving you is their interpretation of what the word of God says, and a lot of times it's to benefit them and not to benefit anyone else. Or they may have just been excited about something or thinking about something else, and when they read it, all of a sudden they said, oh, well, this must apply to what I'm going through. Not necessarily. You have to learn how to study the Word of God for yourself. Once you learn how to study the Word of God for yourself, you learn how to think for yourself, and you can make positive and good choices about what you will receive and what you will throw away from what people try to hand you.
Well, you touched on a couple things. First of all, think for yourself. Churches do not encourage that. at all.
They
want you to fall in line with their doctrine and keep moving, which I'm not against. Now, my book, From Hip Hop to Heaven, details my exodus from the hip hop industry into the place that I'm at right now. It talks about my journey. It talks about how you, it just talks about my journey. It's a good read. A very close family friend of mine, a very close family member of mine, when I wrote the book, I said, I would love for you to read my book. This is an older woman. She's a church goer, however you want to say it, without being disrespectful. You know what she told me? I can't read your book. I said, well, why? She said, because my faith does not allow me to read other books like this. Because it may go against my faith. I could have fallen right there, passed out right there on the floor. Number one, you're an elder, somebody who I respect. I was not necessarily looking for it. I'm saying, look, I'm going to where you are. Do you see what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, look, I'm trying to grow. I'm trying to get to the point where you're at, and you're shooting me down. And she's a Jehovah's Witness just for the sake of this conversation, so everybody knows and we're fair, and I'm not talking about her because she's not here to defend herself. But the point is, here is a person in my family who I wanted to share the goodness that I'm moving it towards the light. I'm coming out of the darkness, and she's like, "Nah, I'm good. I can't read that." Just because she didn't even know. I can't even say she didn't believe what I believe. She didn't even know because she didn't even make herself receptive. So I wanted to say that because it addresses how churches want you to kind of fall in line. But I want to make clear. I want to read something. A lot of stuff is happening in the chat room right now.
Okay.
True View says, I also understand the church has expenses, so why not call it what it is? And that's kind of like what I was saying. And Ms. V is making some very, very, very good points. It says, if the scriptures read Yahweh loves the cheerful giver, then that excludes tithing. Tithing is a payment, not a gift of giving. Very, very interesting point. And she also said, you are in covenant with, now I can't say this word, it says, I hope I'm not messing it, Mosaic, M-O-S-C-H-I-A-C-H, and it says the Messiah in parentheses. I hope I didn't chop it up too badly. There is nothing, and there is in all capital letters, there is nothing that says you are in covenant with a church in Scripture. True View Radio said, good point, learning to decipher, which I believe is the gift of discernment. Oh, Ms. V says, I'm coming in choppy. I don't know. I'm going to check my phone when I get off the show today. I'm not sure what's wrong with it. Oh, and also it's Moshiach. Did I say that correctly, Moshiach? Somebody let me know.
Moshiach.
The chat. Yeah, Moshiach. Okay, Ms. V on the scene says, yes, I said it correctly. I'm learning.
Okay.
I'm trying to get this right, everybody. What were you saying, Pastor?
I was going to say, I think what that word is, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, whoever's in the chat room, I think that's referring to the Messiah. That's the Hebrew or the Hebrew pronunciation of it. And if you were to say Jesus the Messiah, you would say Yeshua HaMashiach.
Yes,
Okay. Solid.
Yeah, that's exactly what she put, and she put the Messiah in parentheses. And she said, yes, Pastor, that's exactly what she was referring to. Okay, good. Here's a question. Isn't religion a practice, and as a student we should study the word? I refuse to join because I'm a student. Well, I think we should continue to learn. I think God is so big and so amazing. We always want to learn and study, but I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
And that's kind of a sticky subject, but what I would say is we are called to be disciples. In the book of Matthew, as a matter of fact, let me go there to the book of Matthew. I believe
Wait
it is the 28th chapter.
I have my Bible. Wait a minute. Matthew 28.
All right. Yes.
I came ready.
Matthew 28. And
okay.
We are going to start in verse 19.
Matthew 28:19.
Mm-hmm. And it says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, here's the thing. We are called to be disciples. And what a disciple is, you know, if anybody ever grew up watching you know, the Kung Fu flicks here in Nashville. I grew up on the Channel 17 here in Nashville. They would play on Saturday mornings after the cartoons went off, all the Bruce Lee movies and all these Kung Fu movies, and I fell in love with them. And they were always these disciples who followed their master, and they learned their fighting style from their master. What a disciple is basically a student. So, and the thing about disciples is, even in those old Kung Fu flicks, people could always tell who a disciple or whose master was that. Let me put it right. Who was the master of that disciple by the way that disciple fought? Because the way he fought always mirrored what his master did. Okay, because he had a relationship, and disciples were always brought up, even from childhood, with that master, and they learned their craft, or they learned the Kung Fu style from their master. Well, let's take that here. When you are a disciple of Jesus, you learn from Jesus. Now, of course, you have pastors, you have evangelists and teachers who help to shepherd you, but that is just to point you in the right direction. I'm getting some feedback here for some reason. Hold on. Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
That's weird. I don't know what's up with their server today. But
okay.
Anyway.
Actually, you're coming in a little clearer now, but yeah,
okay, good.
Well, okay. What we're supposed to do is we're supposed to mirror who our master is. Our master is Jesus Christ. Now, you have pastors, you have evangelists, teachers, bishops, all these who point us in the right direction. Our job is to just shepherd you, but we cannot have the relationship for you. That's something that you have to have for yourself. And in that relationship, we're always going to be learning something. Philippians 1 and 6 says, I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you shall perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. That he who began a good work in you is not going to be a man, but it's going to be God himself. So this Christianity is a personal walk that we sometimes get together and share it with others. That's the only community portion of it. But as far as what is right, what is wrong, you have to learn how to study the word for yourself, come to a relationship with God. I'll put it to you like this, Si. If you can think about this, and I hope you can so you can prove this to be right, what is your husband's favorite color?
Green.
Okay. Amen. Mine too. All right. Okay. But you know this because you have a relationship with him.
Oh, yeah. Okay, there's a test.
Yeah. What kind of food does he like?
Chicken.
Chicken. All right, so you pretty much know 9 times out of 10 if you go to a restaurant, he might order something that has chicken in it.
Yeah, because he doesn't eat red meat.
Okay, and you also know, and this is not a question, so you don't have to worry about it, but you also know what kind of sets him off.
Yeah.
And you know what kind of makes him feel good.
Yep.
You know this because of your relationship with him. Nobody has to teach you that. Your pastor didn't have to tell you, well, you know, your husband likes green.
Nice.
You know.
I love the analogy. I love this analogy.
Have to understand. You have to understand what God wants from you based on your relationship with God. And I believe that's why the Pharisees and the Sadducees didn't like Jesus too much, is because you have to realize that the Pharisaic laws were laws that weren't even written in the Old Testament. These are laws that they came up with, and they had a law that stated that if a Pharisee made a law, it is to be held in equal standing with the laws of Moses. Or in other words, to say, if I make a law, it will be equal with the laws of God. It is as if God is speaking to you and you have to do what I say. I also found out that there are some Jews who have to tie their shoe. I mean, something as simple as tying their shoe. They have to tie their shoe based on the laws of the Pharisees. They have to start with their left shoe, put it on, don't tie it up, then put on their right shoe, and then tie the right shoe up, and then go back to the left shoe. And if they don't tie their shoe like that, they believe that they are in error with God. So that just shows you how crazy manipulation can get, and how people can come out saying that they speak for God and they really don't. You know, we have to learn how to think for ourselves. We have to learn how to have a relationship with God for ourselves. We have to learn how to seek Him for ourselves, because you know what? When Moses found God, it wasn't because some preacher told him about it. God made Himself manifest to him. Abraham, the same way. Abraham was living in a land full of idol worshipers. He himself was an idol worshiper until one day God spoke to him personally and said, I want you to go to a place in which I will show you. And so he got up, left his family, and he had a rich family, and he left, didn't know where he was going, but he went because he had a personal walk or a personal experience with God. That's what's going to follow you all the days of your life. Not a denomination, not a doctrine, not any of these things. It has to be a personal walk in relationship. It doesn't mean anything if somebody tells you how to love God. You got to hear it from God yourself.
Well, Pastor, a couple things. First of all, we got a note, does this guy have a show of his own? And I put, yes, he's a really good teacher. I put Saturday morning. But what's your time that you come on Saturday?
Okay, and the timing issue kind of gets to me, because I'm so not used to being on in more than one time zone. But
Pastor, that's called growth, baby.
Because I actually used to have a radio show locally here in Nashville, and so I'm just not used to this. But, yeah, I do have a show on Blog Talk Radio. It comes on at 10 a.m. every Saturday morning. It is blogtalkradio.com/droppingseedradio. You can also look up just www.droppingseed.net, and if you go on there, when I'm on live, it will automatically play whatever show is on. And if you scroll to the bottom, you can always listen to some of the archive shows. And as a matter of fact, the issue of tithing, if you even want to hear more on it, our first two shows of Dropping Seed Radio was on tithing.
You know something? I love our group. I love everybody. I wish I had the means to just kind of have us all, like, have lunch or something one day. Because as you're speaking, Ms. V on the scene is putting your information for your show in the chat room. Is this not the, like, this is the best place to be every day at 12 o'clock.
Praise the Lord.
Like, everybody, everybody is, like, just sharing True View. Immediately gave your BTR show. I mean, we are such a family, and I know I probably sound so corny right now, but this is exactly, and I tell you all the time, like, I do this show for me. I don't do it for anybody that's listening. I do it because I want to learn and I want to know. So if all I have to do is ask nosy questions to learn, this is the best.
Amen.
He just asked a question. Do you know Mr. Benny Prince? He has an incredible book on this very same subject. Have you ever heard of that?
Actually, no, I've never heard of him. But I will say this. You'd be surprised at the amount of pastors who teach on this very subject, who talk about how tithing is not scriptural. You'd be surprised at the amount, not even just people who are pastors that you've never seen, but I'm talking about pastors who are on TV. You know,
wow.
The Dallas Theological Cemetery, excuse me, Dallas Theological Seminary, I'm going to get it right in a minute, they have in their bylaws and in their constitution that they do not teach tithing. There are just so many others. I mean, it's out there. There's a lot of churches out there that do not teach that you have to tithe. You just kind of have to look for them, but they are there.
Pastor, we're getting, oh my God, the chat room is so heavy today. Biomed Byline says you're very humble. Ms. V, the Catholic Church does not teach tithing. She also said they declare it's unbiblical. I want to comment on something that Tiffany Janae said, that I told you I do my show because I want to learn and grow. So to me, this is my master's degree. But Tiffany said she does her show for the exact same reason, and it just brings me such joy to have all of my people here. To my special guest who just joined in the chat room, thank you very much. I see you. But this is what it's all about. So I want to make sure everybody knows how to find you. So it's blogtalkradio.com/droppingseedradio, and it comes on Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. What is that, Central Time?
Yes, 10 a.m. Central Time.
Okay, so that's 11 my time. Okay.
Yes.
Tiffany, Janae is in the chat room too. Tiffany, your show comes on tonight, right? Your show is Wednesday nights at what time? What time? So I'm waiting for her to respond back. I know her show is on. She's got a very enlightening show as well. She talks about the hip-hop entrepreneur, but if you really listen to her show, there's a lot more underneath the surface. She'll hit me back in a minute. Well, I mean, here we did part one yesterday and part two on this whole issue of tithing. We touched on scripture. I mean, right now I'm looking at Matthew 28. I just want to ask one more question before we start to wind down because the hour went so quickly. In Matthew 28, it says, verse 19, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of age.
Mm-hmm.
Do people, and I understand that it's a great commission, and that's why I say to people, my mandate is just to reveal God to my peers. I talk about God. I do it in my books, whatever, whatever. But as far as the Great Commission, how does that relate to tithing, though?
Well, it really doesn't. When I brought that up, I was referring to the whole discipleship, that we are to be disciples, that we always are to be learning. And we're really never going to understand everything. I'll tell you this. If you have a pastor, or you see some preacher that basically tells you they know all there is to know about the Bible, you need to run in the other way, because a lot of times the most wrong that has been done in the name of Christianity or in the name of Jesus has been done by people who thought they had it figured out.
Wow.
Who thought they had all the answers, and they were so convicted of these thoughts or of their interpretation of what the Word of God said, they did a lot of wrong. I mean, based on what they believed to be fact. You know, I always leave room to say I could be wrong.
Right.
I always leave room to say, you know what? I'm not perfect. I don't have it all together, because here's the thing. If I have a pastor that is perfect, I can't follow that pastor because I feel like I'll never get to where he is. And if he's supposed to be leading me, you know, how can he lead me somewhere where chances are he's not there either?
Well, I want to comment on that, but before we do, Ms. V just said she has to go. Ms. V, we'll see you tomorrow. We'll see you. So, Ms. V, when is your show on? Quickly, if you could type it in so we can let everybody know. I'm sure she'll hit me back. She was saying to you also, bye, Pastor, and that she'll see you soon.
Well, all right, and God bless you.
Okay, she's Blog Talk Radio, Let's Talk Live. So she's saying to you,
Amen.
Too, as well. This is like everybody knows each other, and we're all across the country, right?
Amen.
I'm
sorry. I just, I, I just wanted to give a little bit more information if anybody wants to get in contact with me, or
yes,
even
please.
If you would like to maybe invite me to even teach on this subject. There are two ways you can reach me. You can reach me at Pastor Mac, that's PastorMac, at droppingseed.net. Or
just put it in
the you
channel,
can call
Pastor.
Me. Amen. Or you can call me at
615-485-5803. Okay.
Yeah, that is my ministry number. So you can call that, and or even if you just want to call and just let me know what you thought, even if you disagreed with me and you'd like to talk to me about it, I'm open to talk to anybody, whether you agree with me or not, because I'm all about getting an understanding of the Word of God. I like to hear other people's viewpoints and try to let them know where I'm coming from, too.
Well, I want to thank you, first of all, for joining us yesterday and coming back again today just to bring a little bit of clarity on the whole issue of tithing and the whole purpose of this show, and I'm sure everybody knows, is so we can all grow ourselves and learn from each other. So to those of you who are listening that do tithe, do not take what you just heard as us trying to be disrespectful to what you believe. I think everybody has to take their walk, their way. And you said that several times today, Pastor. You have to do it to your understanding, how you understand it. So I can't impose what I believe on you because you just may not be there yet, and vice versa. But just this whole issue of tithing and tying my salvation to the church has bills, I can't accept that. I'm going to give, and I will always give to God and God's children and people in need. And I don't really necessarily think I did this show specifically for validation that I don't tithe anymore, but I just think I'm so transparent and I'm still trying to get this walk right that I'm willing to pull the curtain down because if maybe I can learn something more from somebody else. And I don't think I'm babbling, but I just want to say thank you. You don't understand how much you've helped me understand, and based on all the activity in the chat room the last 2 days, you're usually in the chat room, but now you're calling in. It was very, 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 very busy. So this just shows me that this was a very real and very relevant message, a very timely message, and it's something, TrueView says it was something in my heart, too, and Biomed Byline says, thanks for the awesome show, Pastor and Tiff. So, I mean, TrueView says that they've been praying on it. So, I mean, everything comes in due season and in time. So, Pastor, I put your phone number in the chat room, 615-485-5803. Everybody, his email is pastormac@droppingseed.net. Please tune into his show. Sometimes I miss it because 11 o'clock on a Saturday morning, I could be anywhere, but I always listen to it in the archives. Do you want to leave us with any thoughts, Pastor, before we start to wind down today's show?
Okay. I really want, and I really felt led to really say this, is that we have to get out of the habit of thinking that we're less than or thinking that we're not worthy of God's love. The very fact that Jesus Christ came and put on flesh and that he died for our sins and that he rose and ascended, that proves how much we're worth to him. So never let anyone think just because you don't worship the way they do, you don't think the way they do, you don't do things or dress the way that they do, never let that get into your mind that God does not love you. He loves you. He loves you with all his heart. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's all that I got.
That's a mouthful.
Amen.
That's definitely a mouthful. I have another great show planned for everybody tomorrow. Tiffany just hit me up, Skye. You're such a good hostess. Thank you.
I think it just comes from my natural curiosity of trying to learn and do more. I love everybody for listening. Please join me tomorrow. Pastor Matt, you'll be in the chat room tomorrow.
Amen. I'll be in my own little corner of the chat room.
Yeah, right. Join me tomorrow. I have a great show planned for you. I love you all for listening. And always remember that the light of God surrounds us. The love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us. The presence of God watches over us. Wherever I am, God is, and wherever you are, God is. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and I'll see you all tomorrow. Bye.